Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody, and welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I'm Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch alongside Doug Vaughn.
Hello, Ben Fred.
How you doing?
Good morning. I'm fine. Fine. You?
I'm doing well. All right. We're here with Plowsy and Iggy Sea Monster behind the glass, and we're going to try to finish stronger than the Cardinals did last night. How about that, Doug? I know you stayed up and watched the whole thing, and you're a little bleary-eyed this morning. You're a little blinky.
Yeah.
And you got to blame the Cardinals.
I tried. By the time I got home from my date with Lady Journalism, it was a little after 11. So I settled into bed and was watching last couple innings. And then when Let It Slip Away, I said, you know what, I think I know how this movie ends.
You thought you knew how to play it out, huh?
Yeah. And then I woke up and checked my phone and said, yep, that's how I thought this movie ends.
Well, you were right. You're a wise man. And we'll break it down today on the show. We got Will Leach is going to join us at 8:30, senior writer for Sports on Earth, Deadspin founder, huge Cardinals fan. We'll get his takes on the current state of affairs with the Cardinals. Also, Rick Hummel, Hall of Famer, joining us at 9:30, brought to you by 314 Sports. So plenty of Cardinals talk today, and I'm sure we'll get into some nitwittery as well in the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour, especially. Design Air Heating and Cooling is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess typical, typical Cardinals baseball here. They actually played a pretty decent game. They had some offense, they had some great base running. Tommy Pham is incredible. Good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes one of the best catches we've seen this season. And it all comes down to Rosenthal and Oh, and you think, okay, you know, this might work. And then Rosie gives up two and Oh gives up a home run in the ninth to send it to extra. And then as soon as that happens, you go, okay, this is gonna spiral out of control.
Sure.
And sure enough, Matt Bowman gets tagged for the loss. I felt like I knew it was Rosenthal was the down point. And then when Aledmys Diaz checks in and immediately that ball goes under his glove to start off the ninth, you go, oh, this is not trending in the right direction.
Come on, Rosie. Come on, Ozzy. Come on, Bozy. Shut somebody down. I'm tired of it. I could have gone pumpkin picking. You know, if they just had an average bullpen, they'd be three or four games in first place. They really would be.
And
did you see the stat a couple weeks ago? We had it when it was like the middle of June. They had given up more leads of two runs or more by that point in the season than any major league team since 1895.
Well, I did not see that. No, I did not see that.
Incredible.
It is wacky, and this is one of the worst ones because you had everything in place up until the ninth there. And one of the big problems here too is that you've wasted another quality start from Carlos Martinez. He gives you six innings. He only allows four hits. It got away from him a little bit late, but he only ended up allowing two runs. He had 10 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And you don't even get the guy the win. I looked up some stats this morning. This is nuts. So Carlos Martinez, among guys who are qualifying pitchers this year, which are guys who are on pace to pitch, you know, throw 162 innings, his ERA ranks ninth. His opponent average ranks fourth. Opponent on base percentage eighth. Opponent slugging percentage fourth. He's fifth in strikeouts, fourth in innings pitch, and ninth in whip. Yet he's 6-6, and the Cardinals are 8-8 in his 16 starts.
Right.
Adam Wainwright has more wins than Carlos Martinez, along with 27 other pitchers. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, and what does he have to show for it?
This is why some people poo-poo the winning stat. I mean, how many games you won. I think for the most part it is important, but you can see in situations like this, it doesn't tell the whole story.
Yeah, I mean, don't even look at forget the win stat. If you're not a fan of the win, look at games won. You know, the problem is, I mean, forget the pitcher win. I'm talking about victories in the standings. The Cardinals are 8-8 in his 16 starts. You're one of the best pitchers in baseball is going out there, and you're playing 500 baseball when he's there.
Come on, Rosie. Come on, Ozzy. Come on, Bozy. I'm tired of it.
Oh, my God.
I could have gone pumpkin picking.
Well, you can make the stats work any way you want.
Well, there's no way to make that work. That's telling.
Look at what 2 years ago won God, what's his name from Atlanta?
Jaime Garcia.
No, now he's with Houston. Now he's with Arizona. Done for the year.
Former
Shelby Miller.
Shelby Miller.
Yes, Shelby Miller.
What do you go, like 5-20 in an ERA of like 3.02?
Yeah, he went like 12 games in a row without getting one run of support.
Yeah, I mean, so you can say, oh, he sucked. Well, he didn't suck. The team sucked behind him and didn't score any runs, so he didn't necessarily suck because he had 3 wins. So, you know, sometimes it can be deceiving, but it looked like Friday's game. I mean, I was at Friday's game, and sure enough, Rosenthal gives up a run in the 8th and takes a win away from Wainwright, and then Noah gives up the home run in the 9th. Deja vu last night. I mean, it's, you know, this team is done. I will say it right now. It's done.
Okay. I've seen enough. Stop that.
No, I've seen enough of this team.
Stop it now.
Almost halfway through the season.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know people want to keep saying,
you know,
hey. I'd
just like to point out that Iggy's the first person to call date of death on Cardinals season.
No, I don't. Probably
Sea Monster, mark it down.
I'm sure.
Mark it down.
I'm sure there's been others, but, I mean, I've given them time, you know, third way through the season, you know, then they get on a little winning streak, and okay, you know, I don't care if they're only, you know, 3 out on the loss side. I've seen enough of this team halfway through the season to show me that this is the team they are. They score runs, but then the bullpen gives it up. They, you know, you have you'll have a starter go out and give up maybe 2 runs, and they don't score any runs. Or they score a ton of runs, and their pitching staff gives up a ton of runs. The starter, they get out to a 5-0 lead, and then the starter gives up 5 or 6. I mean, it's like that week in, week out. I've seen nothing with this team to show me they're due to go on a run. And that's what they have to do to get back in the race, and they can't do it. Do you see anything to make you think that they can go on a 7-8-9-game run?
No, not right now. But nonetheless, there is more than half a season to play, well, and they're 4.5 out, right? Not 10, 11 games out.
If you want to feel
Nobody
better,
else is playing very well in the Central either.
If you want to feel better about the Cardinals, look at what the Brewers and the Cubs did last night.
Yeah,
the Brewers had a brutal loss. The Cubs got seven stolen bases to the Nationals.
Miguel Montero.
And Montero goes off in the postgame and blames Jake Arrieta for all the stolen bases.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's not my fault. You know, the guy's not holding anybody on. I mean, he just blasted Jake Arrieta.
How about the ball Montero threw into left field? Was that
Arrieta's fault? Jake Arrieta should have cut it off.
I guess so.
Buddy, you're throwing out one runner this year. You're 1 out of 44. One out of 44. I'm not sure Arrieta pitched every one of those games.
Well, I watched
you're the catcher. Like, you're supposed to be the guy who takes the blame. You don't throw those guys under the bus. You let your manager do that for you if anyone's going to, or you just wear it.
Trey Turner had 4 stolen bases after like 2 or 3 innings.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple of them. One was a delayed steal, and they didn't even throw to second. And then he stole third base standing up. There wasn't even a throw.
Well, that's what
that probably was on Arrieta.
That's what Montero was saying. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a point. I'm just saying you don't do that. Like, it's like a quarterback going to the post game and be like, yeah, my center really screwed up that snap. You don't, certain positions are, it's worse to throw guys under the bus at. You know what I mean? If you're a diva wide receiver, people expect you to throw some people under the bus.
Give me the ball.
The catcher,
it's wide open.
The catcher is not supposed to be the guy who's throwing people under the bus. So Montero says, and I quote, "It really sucked because the stolen bases got to go to me. And when you really look at it, the pitcher doesn't give me any time. So it's like, yeah, okay, Miggy can't throw nobody out. Yeah, but the pitchers don't hold anybody on. It's tough because it doesn't matter how much work I put in on footwork and throwing and everything because I don't get a chance to throw. That's the reason they were running left and right today, because they know he was slow to the plate. Simple as that." Well, and Arrieta's going, come on, man.
but it may be true.
It is true, but you don't say it.
After giving
it doesn't matter if it's true.
He probably said, you know what? I'm not going to take the fall for 7 stolen bases. I didn't have a chance to throw most of those guys out. Now, he should have said, we need to do a better job as a team holding runners on.
He should have said, I need to do
attention.
A better job.
Well, how
it starts
catcher,
with me.
How can
you just say it, Doug. It doesn't matter if it's true.
How can the catcher hold runners on?
You just say it.
He needs to say, I, as a catcher, need to do a better
job.
We
don't hear Yadier Molina talk a lot, but hell will freeze over the day he says something like that about one of his starters.
No, he would not. Nor would they give up 7 stolen bases.
Well, they gave up a lot last year, but you know the only one who was talking about it was Mike.
Yeah.
You know, Mike was calling the pitchers out for not holding guys on better.
Well, if a catcher's
and they're doing the better job this season. That's why Molina's, you know, caught stealing percentage has gone up.
If a catcher stood there and said, I have to do a better job of holding runners on, no one would believe him.
No, you don't say that. You said it's on me. Next question. You just say something. You don't say this. You don't say that.
Yeah.
But But now people are going, why are you not talking about the Cardinals? Hold the Cardinals accountable.
Oh, all right.
So what do we say? Well, come on.
Come on, Rosie. Come on, Ozzy. Come on, Posey. Bow your neck out there. Shut them down. I could have gone pumpkin picking.
And Cease led a scoreless inning.
Yes.
Can't blame anything on him.
Let it go,
CC. He's had, like, I think, what, 15 of his last 16 outings have been without an earned run.
Yep.
Cecil is slowly becoming the most reliable reliever, but nobody wants to address it.
Well, we knew
it would collapse.
We knew he had to be better than he was that first month of the season, or he wouldn't be in the majors.
Yeah, they're still kind of using him in not super high leverage situations, but I wonder if they're going to try to start working him back in there at some point.
They did Friday night. Then they use him for an inning when they were only
They're starting to. Yeah, so. And I think they will continue to.
I was cringing. In the top of the seventh, Cardinals load the bases with nobody out, and Martinez's spot comes up in the order. And I know it was the place to normally you would pinch hit because you had Piscotty come off the bench, and Piscotty did get the infield hit that drove in a run, and they did get three runs. Nonetheless, I was still afraid that, uh-oh, now they're going to have to go for the bullpen for three innings. You got your best pitcher out there. You got a close game. I wonder how the game would have played out had they allowed Martinez to hit with the bases loaded and nobody out. Even if he strikes out, you might still get a run or two and maybe get another couple innings out of him.
Right. I was wondering if they were a little worried about how he was pitching, I think. I mean, things were getting a little loose on him late in the game. He gave up that home run. He had that pitch where he kind of fell down off the mound a little bit. I think they were maybe starting to think he was losing it a little bit. Not, I mean, just in terms of his control, in terms of his performance.
Well, I'm with you that I don't, the 100 pitch count doesn't matter to me, but it does to teams. And I think he threw, what, 105? So you knew he wasn't going back out.
I just think that, you know, you don't, I wouldn't question that because you got where you wanted to go. You want Rosie in the eighth.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a bad. I'm not saying it's a bad move. The move certainly paid off, and move makes sense unless you have a bullpen that can't get anybody.
What I just wonder, what do people do? So, like, there's two camps, right? There are people who want O to be the closer and get rid of Rosenthal, you know, trade him. There's people who want Rosenthal to take over the closer role again from O. What do people say when they both fall apart on the same night? Because that kind of makes for a tough argument there.
Rosenthal is such a hard case because he comes out one night and looks absolutely unhittable. You haven't got a prayer, three strikeouts and sit down. And then the next night, I don't think he has any clue where the ball's going. He hit the guy in the hand last night. He just, like, he loses his release point or something where he just doesn't know where it's going.
I think he also struggles as soon as the guy gets on base, it seems like. That's kind of where things start to unravel. If he can keep getting them out, he can go... You can go two innings, but as soon as that guy gets on first base, things start to look a little loose. O has given up, what, three blown saves so far this season? He had four all of last year. Now, he wasn't the closer all of last season, but he only blew, what, I think 19 of 23, or he only blew four of 23 opportunities last year. This season, he's blown three of 19, and it probably should be worse than that if you just look at his statistics.
Yeah.
Because he's gone from, you know, phenom in terms of unhittable to these guys to they're starting to knock him around a little bit, in part because he can't throw a slider like he wants, and it's affecting all of his other pitches. That changeup last night that got hit out of the park was belt high. I mean, it was a meatball. He's walking more. He's not striking out as many people. He's got a pretty – his home run rate is, you know, skyrocketed from last season. Opponents are now slugging .444 against him. You don't want to have that guy slugging .444 against your closer.
No. The home run thing, I can write off a little bit because any fly ball now is a risk to leave the park. When you're playing with golf balls, that home run he gave up last night was an opposite field, looked like an opposite field fly ball, and winds up in the first row of the seats. It's hard to keep the ball in the park the way these juiced up baseballs are flying now.
Maybe there's a change. I mean, it's just... Does Rosenthal have a different mindset if he's becomes the closer now instead of the eighth inning guy? And does O pitch any better in the eighth inning knowing he lost his, you know, closer's role? So, you know, I don't know. We go back to Carpenter, you know, hey, it shouldn't matter where he hits in the lineup. Well, obviously it does because he hits better at the leadoff. Does Rosenthal go out there and maybe get his old stuff back as the closer again? And it's the only thing you can do.
I mean, I guess if there's something there, you try to explore it. But that's kind of the thing where this team is right now, though, is if they try to switch every time something goes wrong, if they make a switch, they'll be switching every single game because, you know, again, I think that the maddening thing if you're Mike Matheny is like, man, we played a pretty complete game last night. Our two best relievers dropped the ball for us. Yeah. But they could go out tomorrow and have four errors or, you know, give away three outs on the base pass. Like, they just can't ever get a complete performance in for more than maybe a game or two here or there.
Yeah.
They've just not been able to string together that run of consistent play. And last night, I think it was, I would say, I mean, I guess you give up counting the worst losses of the season, but last night felt bad because they had played better baseball the past couple of games, and here was their chance. You know, they had a winning team on the ropes, which they haven't beat very many winning teams,
mm-hmm.
and the guys who've been your most trusted fall apart. And it came after the time we had Tommy Pham flying into a wall to catch a basically what looked like it was going to be a home run. You had the offense working. You had great base running, even by Stephen Piscotty, who has been, you know, a nightmare on the bases at times this season. It just seemed like, you know, you did everything you needed to do, and then it all fell apart.
The losses never feel worse when you think you've got one in the bag and let it slip away. Maybe it's time to make a deal for a reliever and just go short-term and see if you bolster the bullpen and maybe you lock down some of these games. Again, if you've just had an average bullpen, you're right there. You're right there at the top of the division.
I agree with trades, but I don't agree with trades that would help this year. I would lean more towards not the fire sale, but maybe a semi-clean, maybe clean out the closet just a little bit, you know? Keep some things, but I think, Lynn, you have to consider trading Lance Lynn because if he hits free agency, you're going to pay a lot more than what you're probably going to if you get a deal done before the deadline, which doesn't seem possible. It reminds me of the Shattenkirk thing. He's a great player, but long-term, is he worth the money? Is he going to be effective for 4 or 5 years? And why get nothing for him? I know it's not identical to Shattenkirk, but if you're going to get nothing for him, you might as well try to get something. And he has value for teams that maybe you want to try to make a deep run that need that extra pitcher that can eat innings. And maybe they could re-sign him, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they're wrestling with that very situation.
You can't wait around below 500, and just because you're 4 or 5 games out doesn't mean you're... To me, you're wasting... Maybe you can get a prospect and a player for Lynn. I know that's not a lot, but I mean, that's more than...
Nobody gives up when they're 4 games out of first place.
Right.
I'm not saying giving up. I mean, getting rid of Lance Lynn is not throwing in the towel necessarily.
I don't know that teams are beating the door down for Lance Lynn at this moment. He's given up 7 earned runs his last two starts. He hasn't pitched 6 innings in, seven starts? Six starts?
I think he still has a resume and a track record, even after the injury, the beginning of the year. And he had that start where he got pulled where he shouldn't have, and that's where it like kind of did the trickle down. To where he had a 3-1 lead and he had like 70 pitches in the sixth and got taken out.
If you are going to go full sell, it is not great that some of the pieces that you would be selling off have started to hit the skids a little bit. And and Rosenthal and also Lance Lynn. You'd like one of those guys to, hey, go on a bit of a run here, maybe, guy.
Well, if those pieces were performing better, you wouldn't be in seller's mode.
Fair point. Here's somebody who can break down the Cardinals. Mike Lee joins us now on the appliances counter phone lines. Mike, did you watch the game last night?
I'm with you. They stink.
They stink.
Okay, Mike. All right.
Well, hold them accountable, Mike. What do you make of this team? Are you giving up on them?
No, I don't know how to play. They lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you watch the ball game last night, Mike?
I don't know.
Well, you don't know.
Michael Walker stink.
Well, hey, come on. He was okay his last outing.
I need mommy milk.
Okay, well, I don't think that's going to help either. They need a lockdown reliever is what they need. All right, then.
Mike agrees.
Anything
with
else,
you.
Mike? You go away.
Anything for Doug?
Doug.
Oh, yeah.
You just teach them how to play.
Yeah, I think maybe I will. Next time they're in town, I'll go down there and hold a little symposium in the clubhouse.
Maybe go to 314 Sports, Doug.
Yeah.
You penis.
All right, put him down. All right, put him down. Mike Lee has been suspended. Mike Lee has been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going in the leather-bound.
If he just would have stopped at the first, hey, Doug.
Long ago. Yeah, I didn't know he was going.
I remember the first time I heard Mike Lee call into this show. Mm-hmm. I think I was just driving, and I just happened to be listening. I thought, what is going on?
What is this? Just a loyal listener is all.
Yeah.
Ours is a type of show.
Hey, you can't hold that against him. He's fired up about the Cardinals.
I think so.
He's aggravated. He's like Iggy. He's writing them off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't say he gave up on
him. No, he wants Doug to go down and teach.
I did. But I don't go off on a pitcher that didn't pitch last night.
Yeah, it's hard to pin last night's loss on Waka.
Yeah, you bastard. What were you doing in the dugout?
He wasn't leading the. He wasn't talking up the relievers. That's for sure.
Maybe he's not good in the clubhouse.
Oh no. Stephen Wild would like Doug to fly to Arizona and hold the Cardinals accountable.
And just go around the room and just start putting my finger in some chest and say, this is not going to happen anymore,
I think it would make a statement if you showed up in that clubhouse, though. No camera. You're not there to work. You're there to inspire, to hold accountable.
What do you think would happen to a media guy who walked in and started screaming at the players for their performance?
I think there's one guy in the market who could get away with it. Skip Irwin. He could, yeah. He could get away with it, but that's the only person who wouldn't.
But
be.
But what would they do with you? Would you
lose your credential?
What do they call it? Drawn and quartered? Is that
would
what
they mean? Break your back or something? Would they just pick you up and literally throw you out? I just wonder exactly what.
Yeah,
would
I think
happen.
Punches would be thrown, but then you'd lose your credential and probably all credibility.
Yeah, well, that'd be the least of your problems.
I would guess so. Yeah,
it's not your job to go in there and yell.
Skip could do it though. They love him.
Fesco could do it probably.
From Kansas City, maybe like a Skype call.
Yeah.
Yeah, just come on in, throw some pumpkin picking and cider and Leesburg.
Apparently, the pumpkins aren't even ripe yet, so Doug's rant about pumpkin picking is just ill-timed.
Mm. Well, that was from the Fesco rant. Do we still have that policy?
I think so. Was it from the Fesco rant?
Yeah, I could have gone pumpkin picking.
Yeah, that's Fesco talking about. I could have been drinking cider and Leesburg or something like that. And pumpkin picking.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Tired of it.
Look it up, Plowsy. Look it up.
Well, that's from the Jason Barrett School of make up fake rants and to start yelling.
That's what I do.
Yeah,
that's,
me too.
That's what they teach you at the Missouri School of Journalism.
You do it kiddingly. He was actually serious about it. Come up with something today. Just yell. And then you go off on him and you yell back. Well, I'm not going to yell just to be yelling. It's good
radio. I could have gone pumpkin picking.
Wait, that's not Doug?
No, that's Bob Fesco.
That was serious.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No, that's not serious.
He had a whole big long rant. Is that the only part of it we have left, Plowsy? I'd like to hear the whole thing.
That's not serious.
Well, I think he was serious.
About what? What was he talking about?
The Chiefs, maybe?
Get over it! What the hell can we do in this world to have fun? Nothing! Because you're out there saying everything we say is wrong! Tired of it!
Now, that was at our station, I believe. I believe the pumpkin picking was in Kansas City. I believe that was at our station. Mm-hmm. And that's when Barrett would tell him just to make stuff up and yell. And he would. He'd just make stuff up. And he'd come out at the break and laugh.
Well, apparently this is a profitable business model because we can ask Will Leach about this when he comes on at 8:30. But did you guys see the story about Fox Sports getting rid of all of its writers, except for a while they were considering having the writers who were on their staff be ghostwriters for Skip Bayless. And who's the other... Cowherd is Colin Cowherd over there. They wanted their professional writers to write, to either basically cover those shows and write stories off of them or write articles as if they were Skip Bayless and then let him put his byline on it.
Is that unethical at all?
It's a lot of things. It's unethical is just one of them.
It's embarrassing. That's terrible.
Plowsy, what do you think we get an intern and every rant that Doug goes on, we assign him the intern to write it up? As Doug, or, as if Doug was writing it.
We do have an afternoon intern. He might be able to.
Well, that'd be a nice treat.
I think in a book, it's a little different. But if you're putting your name on a byline of an article and you didn't write it, I think that's unethical.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Some of them are putting like as told to so-and-so.
Sure. Like he just sat there.
But their strategy was like, if you have a list of like top 10 people to, take the Mizzou basketball coaching job. That might get some traffic. But if you say Colin Cowherd's top 10 list, that'll get more traffic.
And Colin Cowherd was
I guess Colin
okay
Cowherd's just
this?
Making enough money. He doesn't care what you say, he says.
And they're afraid that no one will read, no one will click on this unless the
correct
byline is the big star.
Mm-hmm.
The big stars that are making $5-6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the writers, who knows how little they pay them.
Well, they get to eat from the cafeteria, but not the cafeteria, but the leftovers when
after
Colin Cowherd and those guys come through and scrape their plates off, they get that.
You get some crust.
Yeah.
Fox is a joke. It really is. Not the big Fox. I mean, I like.
Why are you taking shots at the cat?
Well, we're talking about Fox Sports 1 and some other things. Now, I have a friend that works for Fox. I'm not going to mention his name. But
Do
told
we have
me
initials on that?
But told me that when they fired they fired a lot of their PR people that have been there forever. Lou Lamoriello and some other people.
Lou Lamoriello? The New Jersey Devils general manager?
No. Lou Lamoriello?
Lamoriello.
I think was his name. There's a, like three or four PR people that have been there forever. Fired them. Gave everybody the option who was like, had been there for 20 plus years, gave them the option. You can either retire and get severance or we're going to fire you. So obviously they're going to leave and get their severance. And they wanted to make it younger and hipper. And supposedly the people on Fox Sports 1 don't even associate with the people on the Big Fox. They don't use any people from their NFL shows or anything on an FS1. They just act like they don't exist. They put all their effort into FS1 and don't care about Fox Sports.
I think that's a good business model. Mm.
Well, I hate to see the little guys. I hate to see the writers go, get fired.
Man, nobody cares about the writers.
Well, if they're the ones writing the stories for the stars,
it'll be all right.
That's not fair.
They'll find, they'll just find a place to give away their stories for free is all.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of ways to publish stories these days, Doug.
Well, if
you shouldn't want to get paid. You should want to write. Be right. A writer.
Just for the love of
the
art.
Health insurance, bah!
If they're making any money off this website, then why don't they pass a little of that money along to the writers who are actually providing the content?
No, sir.
That's not how it works anymore, is it?
No, sir.
Just take like $250,000 off of each one of those two salary, $500,000 pot, and then you could
spread it
distribute that to the writer. Not a whole hell of a lot, but still.
Well, think if you took that $500,000 and multiplied it by 10, you might be able to hire a new somebody else for TV.
Yeah, one guy.
One guy.
Katie Nolan. Where's Katie Nolan going?
I don't know. Didn't you try to get her on the show, Iggy? Wasn't she?
I don't know. I think they know me.
Hmm. Didn't work out, huh?
They know some of my tweets, I think.
Oh, no.
How many times did you try?
I would love for CZ to try and get her on because...
Oh, come on, CZ.
Because they would probably talk to CZ. They hear Kenny Strode and... What's that guy that's tweeting about you never coming on the show and...
It's that bacon face leatherneck.
That's a good quote.
Is that what you were called yesterday?
I don't know.
Did that sting when that was said, or did
no? It's all in fun.
Okay, all right.
Well, if it's not, it still doesn't bother me. But
yeah, you gotta have a thick skin in this business.
That's right.
I think it's all in fun. Well, Timmy Recaps takes shots at me every once in a while, and he's buying me a bottle of wine and coming over to the patio. So it's all in fun.
When's he coming to the patio?
As soon as the wine comes.
Did you get your bottle of wine from the neighbors?
No, Timmy Recaps got it. The Lesbos haven't come over and talked to me since I asked for the wine.
How long has that been now? About a month?
About a week.
Okay. Time flies on this show. Yep. Subby Applause has an interesting theory. He has a hot take. Stephen Wildwood doesn't really want the Cardinals to turn things around because then he'd have no email material. He's tired of it.
Right, and he's got a lot of free lunches out of it.
A lot of free lunches for this Cardinals team, and Stephen Wildwood is taking advantage of getting some of his own.
Right. That's just, playing the cards you were dealt, I guess. If your club is struggling, you write in nasty emails and you get free lunches at the Hot Shots.
I liked how Danny Mac low-key mentioned the hustle chart last night for the Diamondbacks. Anybody else catch that?
No.
He was talking about the Diamondbacks, how they keep a hustle chart in the clubhouse. Yeah. Where, guys are marked down, when they don't run a ball out to first base, it's marked for everybody to see.
Right.
And he just mentioned it and moved on. I'm like, and everybody at home is going, man, the Cardinals could use one of those.
I think that's what he meant.
You think?
You ever notice when Al's doing the broadcast, though, they have these little like back and forths that are like inside things?
Yes, I love it.
Like they didn't mention the peeing on the hands, even though they were talking.
Yes.
I think they threw in pickle juice instead. And Al goes, well, I was talking about something else. Dan goes, I know what you meant. We don't need to talk about it on the air. You want to mention peeing on your hands on the air? Go ahead.
No, we'll talk about it specifically here, but they're not going to do it on the TV.
Well, of course, yes.
I think a hustle chart's a good idea.
Maybe you should keep it, Doug.
I think that's the minimum you should expect.
What if you just walked in there with a piece of poster board and said, listen here, boys, I'll be updating this before every home game. Right. And you slapped it on the wall and it has gold stars.
And you don't want your name on that list.
Oh, so it would have red X's.
Right.
Every time you don't hustle, you're getting a mark.
I will put that on Doug's big channel and expose you.
I said, I'm going to keep one of these in the office of Doug's big channel, right. But I'm going to keep one right here beneath the lineup board for you boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would respond.
Oh, gosh, I think they would. Yeah. I don't really notice this team not hustling. I notice them doing a lot of really odd and weird things on the bases. It's not necessarily not hustling. It's just not very smart.
Well, even
do you get the sense that the Cardinals don't hustle?
No. Well,
no, I don't.
I haven't seen Yadier Molina run out of ball to first base. I can't remember the last time, but no. That just seems to be something that nobody cares about.
I think he's told not to run very – save his legs. If you know you're going to just kind of jog.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone else would get away with that.
Pujols used to get away with it, too.
Well, sure. Okay, but Pujols was a bit of a different hitter, too.
Again, I think La Russa told him because of the plantar fasciitis and the Achilles you don't have to go full force at first unless you think you can beat it out.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because the last thing you want is one of those guys pulling a hamstring or something because they were running full speed on a two-hopper to shortstop. But it does send kind of a bad message when those are your team leaders and they're allowed to.
And Jerko had the one on the last road trip that everybody freaked out about for good reason, but I guess that was apologized for, and I don't know what happened there, but he addressed it with Matheny, and I believe the team as well. I don't think it's a lack of hustle either, although I do question some of the decision-making. Even when Steven stole third base last night, I guess it was a correct decision that he was safe, but I still wondered, I just don't understand why Steven Piscotty's stealing third base. Like, that's it, nine times out of ten, that's an out. And it wasn't this time, so he's applauded for it, and okay. But if you're going to be, process-oriented and not results-oriented, then that's not a good decision.
He stole third base on Jake Arrieta, who was paying no attention to him at all.
Wasn't that called by the dugout? It was a double steal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I would think that had to be called by the dugout. So
sure.
The guy on first knew that he was running.
I just...
unless they called it together on themselves, said, hey, I'm going.
Yeah, sometimes I'm confused by it.
I would be real reluctant to take any chances on the bases right now. Well, again, I keep bringing up the ball, but the way it is flying out of park...
Doug, you can't base every take off the ball.
Well, some of it is. I wouldn't lose anybody on the bases anymore. Stay on there. We got a good
station
chance.
Station to station.
We got a good chance to hit a two-run homer, three-run homer. Yeah, if you don't hit the ball out of the park, you don't win. You've got to hit home runs now to win. And so you don't have to steal bases. You got to hit the ball out of the park.
How many they hit last night?
I'm not sure did they hit any?
They hit none, and they were up 5-2. So
yeah, and they didn't win.
Well,
and Arizona won with hitting the ball out of the park.
Blame the relievers on no home runs that we hit.
Well, the
Cardinals didn't hit any home runs. They're up 5-2. They could have won the game without a home run.
They could have, but in general, there's a stat out there that that McLaughlin had the other night. I don't recall exactly what it was, but in general, if you don't hit home runs, you don't want the games. You don't hit a home run, you almost always lose.
Easier said than done. You need like a centerpiece. I know that's probably going to wait till 2018 free agent class. You can't probably trade for a middle of the order guy unless you want to go out and trade our top prospects and maybe add Lynn in the deal. But when I go to games, it's just kind of boring. You look at the lineup and it's just kind of
they don't
nothing
have the
star. Really scares yeah. you. Nothing really excites no. you about seeing. You know, fans been doing great, but even seeing them in the three or four hole, it's kind of like okay. You need somebody that's legitimate. I know they thought Grichuken could be that guy, but that's what I want. I love seeing Pujols and Edmonds and all those guys. You could always expect at least 25 or 30 a year.
Yeah.
Well, they're sellers now because if Mo's listening to the show and I said they're done, that they're sellers now.
That's the last word on it.
The last word. Iggy said we're done. Let's sell.
Yeah.
Who wants to go?
Even if he didn't want to sell at this point, he pretty much has to now because of the heat that you've put on him.
It's like the Andy Reid scenario.
As soon as Plowsy writes up your column... Ghost writes your column. They'll be passing it around like hotcakes.
Yeah, Plowsy, get that on Inside of Steel. And put my name
Iggy
on it.
Iggy Cullen, Cardinals must sell.
It felt like they gave up when they traded Matt Adams for nothing. It felt like they did that in May.
Well, they didn't. It didn't feel that bad since in hindsight, it was like, if you go back to that time, you thought, yeah, man, and you wish they would have got more, but you weren't going, oh my God, this guy's going to be the most discussed bat at the deadline. You didn't think he was going to hit like this. Nobody thought he was going to hit like
didn't
this.
Think of it, but still, you would think you'd get more than like a low minor leaguer?
I don't know. Twitter, I saw a couple Matt Adams haters that were like, I can't wait to get a Yepes jersey. Like, people...
Nobody said that.
Oh, there were a couple...
Nobody said that.
It was a joke saying they wanted Adams out.
Right.
Not many people. He didn't get a lot of playing time when he did.
Sure.
He wasn't productive, or to them, he wasn't productive.
Right.
I thought as a pinch hitter, he would have been phenomenal to be here.
No, but anytime you give up someone on the major league roster who has been productive in the past for a low minor leaguer, that kind of says we're probably not going anywhere this
year. He's hit a couple bombs in Peoria, though.
Oh, well.
Has he? Well, get him up.
Have you shown those highlights on Doug's big channel?
We haven't yet.
I think that's your lead story tonight. Look, folks, stop whining about the Matt Adams trade. Juan Yepez has gone deep twice in Peoria.
This Yepsy, he's going to change things when he gets
Skype in the Peoria manager or just a fan.
Well, when you lose your draft picks because of the Houston debacle, you have to try and make up for that. And this guy was a very high prospect at one time for Atlanta, so... You know, and Adams wasn't going to get any playing time here. I mean, he's doing it in Atlantics. He's playing every day. But where was he going to play here? He wasn't going to play first base. He wasn't going to play outfield. Where was he going to play? It would have been a nice bat to have off the bench.
Yes.
But he wasn't going to get any playing time.
Right. Now Luke Voit is, small sample size, very small, but he seems to be capable of stepping in there. So, I mean, I understand why they wanted to give a guy like Luke Voit a shot, and this kind of unblocked him. I don't know if he's going to have a role here either, though, if Carpenter's going to stay at first.
Well, you do need a big but
at least
Luke
Voit is, at least Voit is right-handed, and Adams was left-handed like Carpenter, so you kind of neutralized having you'd like those guys to be contrast.
Yeah, but every decent team has got to have a couple big hitters coming in off the bench to hit late in the game.
We got Garcia. What are you talking about?
Well, he just about took somebody's head off last night.
Oh my God, that was awful.
They didn't show the fan, but apparently he had to be hospitalized.
Well, and apparently, and I'm not familiar with Arizona's stadium, but they don't have the extended netting there.
I thought that was a rule around the league.
I did too, and I'm confused because, I mean, I remember, God, it had to have been 2 years ago that Strauss was writing about every, you know, he wrote a column about how, you know, this was, every team needed to get in on this. You know, you got he's basically wrote a column saying something terrible is going to happen. And, I mean, thank God that guy got up and walked off. He was hit by Greg Garcia's foul ball last night, but who knows? Getting up and walking off doesn't mean your brain's not going to swell up. We don't know how he was injured, but it was awful to watch it because you didn't even see the guy get hit, but you see Garcia foul this ball off, and he goes, heads up, and then everybody goes, oh, and then Garcia fell down. Like, I mean, he saw it, and whatever he saw made him, made his knees give out. And then the rest of the at-bat, in between every pitch, he's looking over in the stands because... Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine being up there, you foul off a pitch, it drills somebody in the head or the face, and then you have to keep batting while they're attending to the guy behind you.
Right.
And he still managed to get on base. That was nuts.
I know.
That was probably the most impressive thing in the whole game.
God, can you imagine getting hit by a line drive foul ball in the face? Like, if you're not paying attention for like a second in those seats, thing can happen like that.
It's like
that
there's no way at a ball at that angle, and you saw it come off the bat, it was a laser. That a ball like that should be able to get to a fan without something being in between.
There are some seats where you need a glove. Where it'd be really nice if everybody had a glove. I don't know how you ever make that happen.
You can't expect people can't walk and chew gum at the same time anymore. You can't expect them to get a glove
if you're
up.
Not going to put up a screen.
They're over there Snapchatting. They're not looking to catch a ball.
The problem is with those seats, most of the time it's not really necessarily the hardcore fan. You have your season ticket holders. But most of the time, a company giving away seats, so you got a lot of chitter chatter during play.
Yeah,
and I mean,
chitter chatter though.
But anything like that could happen, and that would be so scary.
It'd be just like getting hit in the face if you were the batter.
It must have been pretty bad because even the announcers. I mean, Danny Mac kind of said, "Look, these guys are shaken up, and it's not just them because they saw it and." Clearly decided not to show it.
It's amazing that it doesn't happen more, and not just
it really is
not just with the but seats behind home plate. So
a lot of
line drives.
I mean, I think the extended netting has helped a lot of that.
Oh, I'm sure it does
because it has to get to a certain angle to get above it, and then it's more of a, it's more of a pop fly type ball than not a line drive. You should not have line drives being able to get to fans without net being in
there. But even down the lines, every now and then someone gets way out in front and pulls it really hard foul into the lower deck.
Do you think they ever do that on purpose?
Those balls are traveling 85, 90 miles an hour.
I think sometimes they do that on purpose.
I don't.
You know, the pitch might be not right where they want it, but they think it's going to be a strike, so they just foul it off to get another hack at it.
No, sir, I don't think they do that on purpose.
Well, I know a lot of people trash older men who bring gloves to the game. But
as they should.
No, but I'll guarantee it. I'll guarantee you 95% of the time, if you see an older gentleman with a glove, there's a kid next to him. They're bringing the glove just in case to protect their kids if a ball comes in.
Yeah.
Just look. If you see,
just use your purse, like that one woman the other night.
You don't have time to grab the purse unless it's the pop up.
Or use your forearm. Remember that one spring training last year where the guy blocked a bat with his forearm because it was about to hit his kid in the face?
Yeah.
He needs a Dad of the Year award. Speaking of Dad of the Year,
I don't get why they go after him all the time. I mean, have you seen a baseball in a game? They're all scuffed up anyway. Why are you risking your life to jump for these balls?
It's a great souvenir to have.
Oh, my biggest fear is that I'm going to see somebody fall off the one of the terraces at Busch trying to get a foul ball.
I think it makes in Texas.
It makes me sick to my stomach every time a foul ball goes behind home plate because these idiots stand at the ledge and then lean over as far as they can, and there's three of them all jostling each other. I mean, it's just a matter of time until it's going to be, and it's going to be awful. I'm not laughing about it.
It's happened in other stadiums.
It has, but I don't want to be in the press box and see it. For myself, I don't want to get sick. I mean, it would haunt my dreams. I'm selfish. I don't want that to happen to me.
Who was the player in Texas?
So stop it. Stop it, you people.
No, I remember that.
A couple of years ago, some player threw a ball into the crowd for a fan.
Yeah, it was Hamilton, right?
And he fell and died.
And he fell and died. Can you imagine?
And then they said, we're going to stop with that. And then sure enough, like 2 games later, you look, you're throwing him in the stand still.
Yeah.
That's not going to stop. I don't know. Well, a lady at the Trump rally fell out too. Maybe he was throwing baseballs up there.
He may have.
You think? Signing him?
Well, he knows a lot about sports.
He's very athletic. I saw that photo of him playing tennis the other day in his tidy whitey shorts. Did you see
Trump?
That? Oh, yeah.
Trump, no.
I think he's gained a bit of weight, hasn't he?
I don't know.
Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh?
Mm.
What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
Well, not really.
I like that detailed breakdown, too. name a couple players next time, maybe not. Speaking of Dad of the Year, Texter 618 says, my daughter was called out stealing third last night. She was clearly safe, so I got thrown out.
You got thrown out of the game arguing?
Yeah. You went after the ump.
Yeah, that's just what you do. Make a spectacle of yourself. Spectacle
well,
of yourself.
Well, look, I think that's easier to say. I mean, we don't have kids. We don't know what it's like. You ever gotten tossed out of one of your kids' games,
no.
Doug?
No.
I do.
No.
What's the closest you've come?
I never came close. There was a couple times when just a couple occasions where horrendous calls, and I'd go out there to like discuss it, and the umpire would take the mask off, and it'd be about a 12-year-old kid, and I'd say, never mind, never mind, thank you.
Canton had it was like Texas rules at our little league facilities, you know, volunteer guys, and every parent knew everybody, so the dads would like pregame, like in the parking lot, and have like coolers, so they'd already be almost wasted before game time.
Yeah.
And so you would see parents get kicked out on a regular basis. I mean, it was for anything.
I hardly ever saw it. But with three boys playing all the sports
all the time.
I rarely saw any parent or any other coach go crazy. I mean, I can't hardly think of an incident where
it's kind of hillbilly though. Like, I mean, it was really guys that are 8 to 10 beers deep. It's 5 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, and your 7-year-olds playing. Like, it's pretty terrible.
There's a real shortage as you get higher up in sports of finding officials for a lot of sports. They don't want to do it anymore. People are so out of control. There's a lot of people, they just don't want to officiate basketball games or anything else.
I umpired as a teenager. I think as most of us did at one point,
yes.
You know, to make some extra money. And back then, you had one umpire. I think these are like maybe fifth, sixth graders. And you had one umpire, and you stood behind the pitcher. You know, you called balls and strikes, then you kind of had to walk around first, second. You know, you're doing everything. So there's a play at the plate, and he tags him, and I call him out, but then I see the ball trickle out of his glove. Then I go, safe, safe. This guy's yelling, you called him out. I said, yeah, but he dropped the ball. You can't change your mind. If you call him out, he's got to stay out. I go, well, he was out until he dropped the ball. Now he's safe. He wants to jump over the fence.
Give it right back to him.
It's like the fifth graders. I go, no, what do you mean I can't change my mind? If the kid would have held on to the ball, he was out. He was out, then the ball came out of his glove, so I changed, he's safe. Ah, it's a rule, you can't change. Rule, show it to me. So I had to toss him. I had to toss the
toss
guy.
Nice. Run him.
Get out, get a snow cone down there, you're done.
Get out of here.
I did some umpiring when I was 16, and I did about one season and decided I'm done with that. My problem was I didn't have a long enough attention span. I would just completely black out. Like, I would be behind the plate, and there would be a bird flying around. I would just focus. I'd lose my – then I wouldn't know what the pitch was. So I'd just make something up, you know, 50% chance, ball or strike.
Yeah.
Well, then sometimes you get it wrong. And they told me – when they gave me the job, they give you a pitch counter and one piece of advice. They give you a pitch counter, a rule book, no test or anything. And then they say, whatever you do, don't let someone make you change your call. You know, like it, whatever you saw, stick with it. And, you know, like not like that, not like the example Iggy gave, but if you make a call and someone comes out and argues it and you think you were right, then don't ever change it, because once you change it, then Pandora's box yeah. is opened. So that was the one rule I'd had. So I'd make a terrible call. You know, I would miss something by a mile, and I would know it, but I'd already said it, and I didn't feel like I could fix it, because then you have no credibility. Oh, and it was awful.
And if
you had the coaches would wear the bike shorts, you know, the little baseball pants shorts.
Sure, they were ready to go in if they had to.
The grape smugglers, yeah. they would come out and get in your grill, and it was just like, I don't want to do this. I would rather be the baseball field I umped at was next to the swimming pool. And I would just be looking at the swimming pool and being like, why am I not over there?
Oh, come on now, focus.
What am I doing out
focus.
Here?
Focus, you'll get there in a minute.
I used to like manage when I was umpiring too. I mean, I'd be behind, and there's some kid like threw like 19 straight balls, walk, walk, walk. I go, man, can you get a guy in here who can throw strikes? My God, we're going to be here all night.
Come on, Skip, get somebody loose.
Come on, you got anybody in there? Come on, this kid's walked 9 batters in a row. Jesus Christ, we're in the first inning and it's already 8-0. There's no outs. Do you have anybody that can throw strikes? Come on.
Get him in here.
Then I just start calling strikes and ball up over his head.
Oh, yeah.
Strike one.
A kid who can't throw, who starts getting it close to the zone, that's positive reinforcement. Yeah, you're guiding him to the strike zone.
I tell the kid, look, because I'm right behind him.
Like, swing away,
get
buddy.
Get anything close, I'll call it a strike. Just somewhere in the vicinity. Yes.
I think one mistake umpires make is you feel like you got to make the call really quick. The second there's a play at first, you got to have a call. And sometimes if you just delay a couple seconds, you process it a little bit better, and you're less likely to make a horrible call.
Yeah, see, that would have been the kind of advice that I would have liked to have when I showed up there that day in the summer of, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, but you would have waited like 3 seconds to make the call, and then you look at the pool and, huh. Hey, up, out safe. Oh, out, okay.
I wonder if we'll get to the point where umpires in, amateur sports will just carry a cell phone and video the plays. And then you can go back and do your own little video.
Well, that's the problem with being an umpire now. And thank God I missed it, because camera phones were around, but they weren't at the quality and the video wasn't where it was when I was doing this. Because now you do have that. I mean, I'm sure umpires now could tell you that if you miss a call and here comes 3 parents with their iPhones and they've already tweeted to your boss and, you know, posted on and tweeted about how terrible you are and, you know, commented on your aunt's Facebook page, why your nephew's a big jerk, and they've got this video and you're going, oh man, but then what do you do? If it's clearly wrong, I don't think you can reverse a call based off of a parent's cell phone video.
It seems unfair to me.
It's not worth it. How much do those guys get paid? It can't be worth that.
No. No, I don't know what they get paid, but it's not horrible, as I recall.
I got 10 I was, bucks.
I guess, I, wasn't 10 getting, bucks I, guess I wasn't getting paid enough.
10 back, bucks a game wasn't bad.
But that was in the 1900s.
Then, yeah. Well, that's when we were still using coins. We didn't have dollar bills.
Yeah, we couldn't afford
dollar
bills.
That was 10 bucks a game.
Would love to have had paper, even.
And then I go at the end of the week and...
We had rocks for coins.
They had rocks for baseballs, yeah. That was the real dead ball era.
But it seems unfair when you're at your son or daughter's 10-year-old game that you're expecting professional quality officiating. You know, the officiating, but the umpire is usually about equal to the quality
that is
of play.
Reasonable take, but we don't live in a reasonable country anymore.
No.
I saw Ramsey one time, and Bob don't care if I tell these stories, but it was actually a charity softball game. It was the media versus, I think we played this game at Edgewood Children's Center every year against the Restaurant Association. And we turned two, and I'm playing shortstop. I toss it to Ramsey, throws to first, and they call him safe at first. Ramsey, come on, Blue, that was two?
Come on.
Oh, come on.
You got the Herbert Hoover there.
Rammer, it's a charity. Come on, Blue.
I appreciate his holding people accountable in all walks of life.
Ramsey was a great athlete. That guy he still plays baseball, I believe, in the over 50 league.
I would never want to officiate basketball. Not only do you have to run up and down the court, but you can't see a lot of the plays. There's people between you and the ball sometimes, even if there's a couple officials working it. You could call something every time down. Everyone's right in your face. The coach is 2 feet away. The fans are 2 feet away from you. No, thank you. Those guys who have to do college basketball games?
Oh, I think that's the easiest, though, because that's the calls that they miss the most. College basketball is the worst officiated sport.
Because it's so hard. It's hard to do. You can't see
hockey.
The
NHL
game
has to be
so
pretty
fast.
Poorly officiated. Even in the postseason, it's terrible.
I think college basketball is hands down the worst at a professional.
But why would it be? Because it's so hard. It's difficult to do.
Well, I don't think
you could call something every time down the court.
Well, there could potentially be. It's just like football. There could be a pass interference or a holding every play. Most of the time, and in basketball, there's always going to be a foul or somebody. And they just don't have rule discrepancy. In the NBA, they let you play. And it's kind of pathetic how much they let you play in the NBA sometimes.
But the players
college
and
basketball
coaches are still
the exact
griping.
Opposite. You have 45 to 44 final scores in college basketball. And pathetic. And like teams shooting 30 or 40 free throws a game. That's boring to me. I let the kids play. If I was reffing basketball,
let them play.
If you ain't bleeding, it ain't a foul.
Come on, Zebra.
That's how they do it in Canton.
He's giving him the business out there. Let him play.
Butch McGuire wants to know if all those Canton dads who were getting thrown out of games were all wearing cargo shorts.
Oh, it was. No, it was like the mid-90s when I was in Little League, so that was jorts. That was the prime time for
Because Canton dads
shorts.
Aren't wearing jorts now.
Not as many, but like you had it wasn't even jorts. It was like the carpenter jorts. Like the short.
Gotta have that hammer loop.
Yeah, you could have a hammer. You have two hammer loops.
You never know
loops.
When you might need to carry a hammer around
you
your workplace
place
or
for your tape
the supermarket.
Measure.
You just never know when you might need a hammer.
Tucked in t-shirts and carpenter jean shorts. That one kind of that was the Canton closet.
You hate to
and the bigger your beer belly, the tighter your shirt is tucked in.
And the hotter your wife. The fatter and more unhealthy you are, almost the hotter your wife is.
Well, the fatter you are, the more money you have. That's a theory there.
Because you
well.
Can afford more food.
Correct. You can afford more drive-thru and more beer.
Right.
Mickey Mike Drop says he used to coach Doug's son in basketball. He had to remove Doug many times from games and practices.
Yeah, that's
Mickey
fake
Mike
news.
Drop? Is that
that's, no, that's fake
any truth
news.
To that, Doug?
My dad used to yell a little too much and embarrassed me no end. And so I told myself I would not be that dad sitting in the stands yelling and screaming. As a coach, I used to get excited, but I would never yell at umpires or anything. Or
yeah, I would think the kid
official.
Would be the one that would suffer because you have to sit there and listen to your parents screaming at a referee or screaming at a coach that, why'd you take him out of the game? Why didn't you put him in the game? And then you got to listen to the berating, and then he gets kicked out of the game. And you know,
I think you just say, man, my dad really loves me. I think that's
no,
what
you don't
think. I think
that.
That's what
Look
you're
at
saying.
That passion.
You think, shut up, Dad.
Because what the guy who gets thrown out of the game is not the guy who rips his son the entire way home about how terrible he is.
No, it's just the opposite. You're the best, son. You're the best. That umpire was wrong, or the coach was wrong. You're the best, son. And when you give them that false sense of security, then they think they're really great, and they don't get any better because my dad said I'm the best. I should be playing. I need you to stop working.
The worst place to heckle is, like, baseball games are really annoying. But nothing worse than in like a basketball gymnasium because you get that echo and it just
they can all
especially
hear you.
When it's like when we're little
plus
kids.
You
have
to run. Plus,
you
have to run a lot. Those guys have to run a ton.
Oh, I know.
At least baseball umps. I mean, what Cowboy Joe West is an ump. I mean, he's been doing it forever. He's not running
there.
Anywhere.
No, he's eating ham sandwiches back there at home plate in between.
Most are
getting
go.
Water and more baseballs. He's getting ham sandwiches brought to him.
When you're a kid, the most important thing to you after about the age of 8. And certainly through the teenage years, the most important thing to you, the one thing that you don't ever want to have happen is to be humiliated and embarrassed. That's the most important thing on your list.
And hitting the nuts.
And if you, well, that's a close second. But if you have somebody embarrassing you like a parent, that's the worst thing you can do to a kid.
Well, also important this time of the year, staying cool.
Oh, God.
A place that can help you do it.
Any advice on that front?
Design Air Heating and Cooling. Friend of the program.
Right.
Also donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. They're the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour, which is wrapping up. As we speak, designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
That it is. You know, Seth Goldkamp is the guy there. And he and his family are fourth generations running this business.
They're not bad coaches. They're good coaches.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Fabulous owner-operators is what I would say.
They'll keep you cool. Give them a call. They help out a great charity as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here for the 8 o'clock hour. We got Will Leach coming up. Rick Hummel, the Hall of Famer. After that, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After Gateway Buick GMC Studios.